You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, Linda, it looks like we're off to the races with the articles of impeachment.
Yep. Nancy Pelosi announced that she was proceeding with the articles of impeachment because she was left no choice because of the uncontested problems of President Trump.
The uncontested problems. Man, I tell you what, I've been following this, and I know you have too. I know a lot of people don't have enough time.
nor the desire.
Nor the desire to follow this. And even though you and I have very heavy work schedules, we follow politics, you know, and I think people should. I think American voters need to follow politics. As sick and as tedious and as much as you want to throw your shoes at the television screen, I think it's important to be informed.
Well, and I promise you that people would vote differently if they were really informed and if they really understood what was going on and the depth and breadth of this swamp that we call Washington. We've talked about this a number of times. We've both pretty much expected that everything would go the way that it's going.
Well, how could it not?
Well,
okay, I mean, you just take a look at the history of everything that's gone on for the last couple of years, and I would have been surprised had they not gone down, you know, this avenue. This, I have said this from the very beginning, this is the bloodless coup attempt to unseat a sitting president and to just cast away the votes of 64 million people that voted
right.
for President Trump. It's disgraceful.
It's disgraceful. The way that they've gone about this is partisan and disgraceful. The rules have been totally one-sided and disgraceful.
Can you say that again?
Yeah.
How was it? Was it disgraceful?
It's just every day that I look at the things that happen, I just am more and more shocked. I mean, I shouldn't be shocked by anything, but I'm just incredulous that they're getting away with what they're getting away with. And when Nancy Pelosi announced that they were proceeding with the impeachment, the thing about that was the hypocrisy to me when she was saying how he was trying to change the election or manipulate the election
meaning
in his
president.
Favor.
Right,
the president. Manipulate the election in his favor by doing the things he was doing to Ukraine, which is so interesting to me because none of them cared a whit about Ukraine when Obama wouldn't give Ukraine a dime to help with any of the weaponry that they needed at that time in which they were actually being invaded.
Well, you know what's interesting, and I love One American News. I think it is really the best network. Fox has got a lot of things that are very good, and I've worked for both networks. I worked for Fox and One American News. And I'll tell you what, as far as an up-and-coming news organization with a lot of credibility, I think One American News does just a fantastic job. And why I'm prefacing my comments about One American News is one of the reporters, and it's a female reporter, it's a Washington-based reporter, managed to get an exclusive interview with the fired prosecutor from the Ukrainian government, the one that left after Joe Biden allegedly, you know, pressured the Ukrainian government and said, look, we're not going to give you any, support, financial support in your, you know, conflict with the Soviet Union or Russia now, as they call it, unless you dump this guy. Well, guess what? The guy that got dumped got interviewed by this reporter, and he said, absolutely, that's what happened. He said, Vice President Biden came in and told my boss that if you don't fire this guy within 6 hours, we are going to just pass on our financial support for your country. I mean, I'm hearing it from the horse's mouth. How Fox didn't get a hold of this and do this interview is beyond me. So congratulations to One America News. But you're exactly right. Just the hypocrisy of this whole thing. And I thought it was pretty interesting because Nader is the guy, and I really want to talk about this next, about these law professors and what happened recently. They showed some clips of Nader.
Nadler.
He was a little bit heavier then. He was a little bit younger. But it was, what, about 2009 or 2007 or something. And he was up in arms about, we shouldn't do an impeachment, or we shouldn't do this, and we're going to cast, you know, take America and turn it upside down and do all of this. And son of a gun, if that's not what they're doing right now, and this is the guy that was the head of the hearing recently.
Well, and not only was he the head of the hearing, but what's really funny is if you look at the videos of him in the hearing, he's dozing off.
Oh, I thought that was so funny.
He's the head of it, and he's dozing off
during
the hearing.
Right, he can't even keep his eyes open, and it was embarrassing, okay? I remember many years back, and I know you do too, when President Reagan, who was an older president, you know, they would catch him dozing off during, you know, meetings or, you know, cabinet meetings or something like that. And that was the running joke, you know, back in the 80s, I think it was, when Reagan was president. But to be the guy that calls the hearing and to be the chairman of the hearing and calling these witnesses forward or whatever, and then falling asleep, not once, but several times dozing off. I thought it was hilarious, but at the same time, it's what's your word? Disgraceful.
It's disgraceful.
But so let me talk about this, because so what do the Democrats do? They're going to bring four so-called constitutional scholars in, and they are going to talk about how President Trump, whether or not there's any legal
constitutional
support,
right,
the justification,
mm-hmm,
violations of the Constitution, violation. They even praise the Lord, they brought up the Federalist Papers, for God's sakes, and probably 98% of the people in the United States don't even know what the Federalist Papers are. But suffice it to say, they're looking for something to justify moving forward with the articles in impeachment against President Trump. And so the four professors were Noah Feldman, who comes from Harvard. These are all prestigious Ivy League, very expensive universities. So law professor Noah Feldman, he comes from Harvard. And then we got the University of North Carolina law professor Michael Gerhardt, George Washington University professor Jonathan Turley, who seemed to be the moderate of the group, and then my favorite and everybody's favorite now, Stanford University professor Pamela Karlan, who now is like she's trying to find a dark cave to crawl into after embarrassingly insulted the president's, made references to the president's young son Barron, and just these people are just Trump haters.
They are Trump haters. I didn't know any
except
of them.
For Turley. Turley was a moderate.
Well, he's not a Trump lover. He's not a Trump hater.
He didn't vote for Trump either.
Exactly.
He's a Democrat.
But he believes that this process and the way that it is being done is completely wrong for this country and dangerous to the country.
Correct.
But what I want to say, my never to be humble opinion about these educators, what are universities and colleges have become is a place where people are indoctrinated in leftist beliefs and agendas, socialism, Marxism. I mean, that's what's happening in our college today. These three professors couldn't have exemplified this more to my mind. I knew none of them before having seen them, Ron, and I watched them. And the partisanship, the outright hatred for the president was on display for everybody. And they were melodramatic about their answers.
Inappropriately so.
Yes. And and just wanted to convince America that this guy was really bad and he did some horrible things. In the same time, I'm thinking, but Joe Biden actually did what they're accusing the president of doing, and nobody wants to talk about that. The hypocrisy is astounding to me.
Well, you know, let me stay on track with what I found extremely interesting about three out of the four professors. Like I said, I thought the only guy that spoke with any level of common sense, that had some understanding of the law, was Turley. Okay, and again, he was right up front. He was very transparent. Look, I didn't vote for this guy. I'm not a fan of this guy, meaning, you know, President Trump. But y'all just don't have any objective evidence of high crimes and misdemeanors. And what you're doing is a disservice to the American people. So you better find some objective evidence or you better move on. Okay, and that was his advice. And you know what? And he said since then, since he gave his testimony, as a matter of fact, within an hour of giving his testimony, he was getting all sorts of threatening messages. And he comes, I think, from George Washington University. And there was like outrage and they should fire him for George Washington University. And of course, all of that, it's coming from the left. But let me tell you why I'm so concerned. I'm concerned on a couple of levels. Because as a police officer and now as an expert for the last 37 years, what am I dealing with all the time? I'm dealing with constitutional issues. Probably, what do you think, Linda? 90% of my caseload are dealing with constitutional issues,
sure.
Right? Violations of civil rights, mm-hmm. You know, things like that. It's a huge part of my case and caseload. And so, of course, I have to use my law enforcement experience, but I have to use my legal experience in understanding constitutional case law, right? Because it's laws of arrest and search and seizures and reasonable suspicion and probable cause. And I found it astounding that these are not just law professors, they're constitutional law professors. The heart of everything that we use in the United States with respect to our Bill of Rights and also collaterally our Constitution, but primarily our Bill of Rights. And they didn't even know the basis of reasonable suspicion and probable cause. It was absolutely crazy. Three of these people, so, you know, we're talking about Carlin, we're talking about Noah Feldman, and Michael Gerhart are saying, oh, unequivocally, President Trump has committed atrocious crimes, high crimes and misdemeanors, and if anybody in the history of the United States presidency should be impeached, it should be President Trump, okay? So, why I was laughing is because the Republican representative congressman, Matt Gaetz, after all four of these, and I think you saw this.
He was so good.
He was great. At the end of all of this, and they're all sitting, all four of them are sitting, the law professors. He says to them, wow, that was really something. Every single one of you are, you know, all the, you're supposed to be these auspicious, you know, prominent constitutional scholars in the United States from, you know, four of the best colleges, law schools in the United States. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Any one of you or all of you that believe that there is factual, objective evidence that President Trump committed any crime, any misdemeanor, any high crime, any misdemeanor, any felony, any criminal act, please raise your hand.
He asked if they had firsthand knowledge of it.
Correct. And guess what, Linda? Not a single.
Of course not.
Not a single hand went up. And I just thought that was remarkable. And you know, you and I have had, I don't know, a couple of three conversations about this. And I keep, my thing is, you know, when I talk with you and I talk with other people and jurors, I try to keep it simple, stupid, the KISS principle, right? Keep it simple, stupid. And so let me walk you down this path for a second. Would you agree that President Trump is an employee?
He's an employee of the people of America.
That's right. You would agree he's an employee. Would you agree that he's a federal employee.
Yes.
Okay, so no disagreement. He gets a paycheck, right? I know he gives it away, but he gets a paycheck.
Yes.
And he gets a pension.
Yes.
He's a federal employee, right? He's a voted-in federal employee, but he's a federal employee.
Yes.
So I've talked about this before, but I actually looked it up just to make sure I was getting it right, okay? So if you are going to and this is a federal law, okay? These are federal employment. It's called the Federal Employment Act. If you are going to discipline an employee in the United States, you have to go through the 7 tests that lead to discipline. Okay, 7 tests that lead to discipline, and you have to say yes that you did all 7 of these things. But I'm not going to read all 7. I'm just going to talk about 3. So the first, we'll just call it the 3 tests. The first test is, did the employer investigate to see if the employee violated a rule or a performance standard? And I guess we could say yes. It's not a good investigation, but would you agree with me? We could say yes. They're conducting an investigation.
Yes.
All right. Now let me see if
a
you
biased
say,
one, but yes.
Let's see if you say yes or no to the next question. Okay, so the next test was the investigation conducted in a fair, objective, and impartial manner.
That would be no.
That would be no. Okay, so already out of the 7 tests, and we've only done 2 so far.
We failed.
You failed. So you can't discipline right there because you said no. And then the third one was, did the investigation uncover substantial factual evidence of any of the violations?
No.
Now, don't forget, substantial factual objective evidence.
No.
And that's why none of the 4, when Matthew Goetz asked him, anybody that's got objective factual evidence, firsthand knowledge of this, raise your hand, and not a single hand was raised. So let me just say one more thing, and I'll shut up for a minute, because I want to hear what you got to say. But so you get these 4 prominent constitutional law professors from 4 of the biggest, most expensive universities, law schools in the United States, and they say, 3 out of the 4, high crimes, misdemeanor, if any president needs to be impeached, it's this guy, he's horrible, he did terrible things, he needs to go. And at the end, they couldn't even pass getting rid of a guy that's a janitor in a federal building. Okay, because they didn't pass the Employment Act tests for disciplining and employing. Where do you think we're going with that?
Well, it doesn't seem to me like any of them really care about any of those small details, like being fair or like being ethical. None of them care about that. And what I see is that, or what I saw with these professors is the 3 of them were very, very partisan and had a history of demeaning the president over all of the years that he's been president. They've written articles against him. They've done speeches against him. They've been extremely critical of him, all 3 of them. So, and I can't say that he's done that because I didn't see that. But I did see it with the other ones. How is this impartial? This was, again, just a showboat for American people to see, and America's not falling for it. I don't think that they are.
I really don't think they are. And you know, I was listening to Judge Jeanine, who I love, who's been a prosecutor, obviously been a judge too, knows something about the law, knows something about constitutional law for sure. And I have to agree with what she said. She said they paraded a bunch of Trump haters,
yes,
in front of the hearing panel. Let's talk a little bit more about this.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So, you know, Lynn, having just had this discussion about all these constitutional law professors, and you know, you mentioning that, you know, Nancy Pelosi says that the Congress, at least the Democratic Congress, is going to move forward on their articles of impeachment. Just where do you think this is all going?
Well, for me, I'm kind of with President Trump, where he had mentioned, you know, hey, if you're going to impeach me, just do it and let's get on with it, you know, so that we can have you all testify in Senate. I think it's going to be really interesting if it goes that far. And right now, I'm not really sure that they have all the Democratic votes that they need in the Congress to do this. But my inclination is that they do, because Nancy Pelosi doesn't take any step before she knows the result.
And, yeah, you notice that there's a theme with her, because you remember, you've got to vote for the, what was it, the health Obamacare before you read it.
Yeah, right? Then you can read it. Yeah,
then you can read it. So that's pretty consistent with her. You know, I have to say one thing. I was sort of thinking, and I ended up being wrong. It may not be over. Maybe I'll end up being right, but I thought they were going to kind of give up on this, and I thought they were going to go to censure, because I think you can get away with censure. Because, by the way, you know, obviously censure is just like a slap on the hand.
Right.
Hey, you did something bad, and we don't like what you did, and we're just making an official record of our disagreement with what you did. And I think, this is just me, I'm no politician, but I think that they could have gotten away from that and then going back to the business of government, which is really where we need to be going here. But it just seems that the progressive left and the socialists and Marxists have just taken Nancy Pelosi and kidnapped her. And pretty much when I watched her talk about the articles of impeachment, it seemed to me, in looking at her, that she was under a lot of pressure. So I don't know if she's wholeheartedly jumping into this, or she's just worried about losing that new progressive left base.
Well, she's also somebody that's a Trump hater. But, you know, my dad used to always say to me, Linda, you made your bed, and now you got to lie in it.
Oh, boy, that's no truer words were ever spoken.
Yep, and that's how I feel about this, is that they're going to have to lie in the bed that they make out of this. And, you know, the thing that I said a little while ago to you is something that I feel very strongly about, the hypocrisy of this. That Joe Biden did exactly what they are accusing the president of doing.
I think you're right.
He did it. Out loud, he did it, you know, just in your face, and he admits to it, and nobody has a word to say about it. How is it that you want to impeach the president when there's no evidence he even did any crime at all, and you want to impeach him? So, and Jonathan Turley said that, you know, that the Democrats are doing precisely what they are accusing the president of doing. They are abusing the law, not the president. And this, again, is a guy that's not a President Trump fan.
Right.
But he's being realistic that they are wrong about this. I feel like people that are so ugly in character, Ron, the Schiffs, the Nadlers, the Pelosis, people that I actually have just very little respect, if any, for, they have made their bed, and they have gotten in so deep. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when I was a kid in Catholic school, and we were looking at the catechism books, and they had illustrations and pictures. And there was a part in the Bible, and I'm not a biblical scholar, so I don't remember. I can't cite chapter and verse here. But there was a part where God cast the evil people down into hell. Okay. And I remember that picture because as a little kid, it was kind of shocking. And it showed,
well, I think it's meant to in catechism class. Yeah. Don't be bad, you'll go to hell.
And it showed,
and it's a bad place.
It was talking about them screaming and roiling, which is a powerful word. Roiling is a powerful word. And I remember that. And they were, They were all naked in there. Of course, they had no body parts showing because it was a catechism.
Even in those days, it was politically correct.
It was.
Right?
But it was just so interesting. And that's what I feel like is happening now in Washington is that the swamp dwellers that Trump is bringing out into the light are kind of like that wicked witch in Dorothy. You know, I'm melting. And it's just gotten so crazy. It's almost becoming fun to watch every day.
It's almost becoming cataclysmic, right?
It's just kidding. It's interesting. Now, I'm really interested to see if this goes to the Senate, what happens, because I want to see these people get called to testify.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, here again, you know, I could be totally wrong. Me, I was thinking they were going to go for censure, and they didn't, so I was wrong there. I may not be wrong later. Maybe they'll back away and then say, well, you know what, let's go for censure. I can tell you this. I think this will happen. And I think you and I are in complete agreement, and I think every conservative that we know is pretty much on the same wavelength. Because the Republicans are not going to vote for this, this is going to be a partisan vote. The Democrats are going to, you know, vote in the Congress, and they're going to pass it in the Congress, the articles of impeachment. They won't get enough Democrats to go over to the Republican side. But I'll tell you what, the moderate Democrats are going to be shaking in their boots for the elections, because this is going to be terrible for them. But I think we all understand that the Republicans are not going to vote for it. It'll be by party lines, and probably somewhere between 2 and 4 Democrats are going to go over to the other side, and they'll vote with the Republicans, especially, like I said, moderate Democrats that are worried about, you know, them being reelected. And it's not going to go anywhere. I think after that, because they've got to come away, meaning the Democrats, they've got to come away with something, right? Something tangible. I think then what they'll do is they will automatically vote for censure, because they got to get something on the books, don't you think?
Yeah, but here's what they also said right after Nancy announced this. They said that if this one doesn't work, they're going to just keep doing it.
Oh, I know. There's no doubt about that.
They can impeach him 20 times. Yeah. They'll find something. They said for sure he'll do something else. In the meantime, what Americans should be really upset about is the waste of time, the waste of our money, the waste of things like USMCA not getting passed.
You know, you're right. You know, we were talking about that this morning, and, you know, we were remarking that look at all the good things that President Trump and his administration have done so far for the American people. I mean, we could go on and on about that, but, you know, the economy is way up, unemployment is way down, and for people of color, the employment is the highest it's ever been. The economy for people of color is the highest it's ever been in, like, I don't know, 60 years, maybe going back farther than that. We're building the wall. We're seeing a lot less illegal immigration.
70% less.
It's amazing. And I know, you know, Trump is taking a lot of heat, you know, recently with the NATO, you know, meeting with the NATO allies and everything. But I got to tell you something. He calls it what it is. All right. He is constantly trying to move this nation forward and get these, these deadbeats, because that's what they are. Okay, they're different nations led by deadbeat leaders, and get them to contribute to NATO. Everything he's doing, he's trying to do good for the American people. And I'll tell you what we were talking about is if the Democratic Congress would stop all of this malarkey, and they would just get down to the business of the United States and the people of the United States, we, in the last 2 years, we would be 5 times farther ahead than where we are right now. Can you imagine what would happen if the United States Congress and the Senate would get together and pass all this meaningful legislation? That, you know, like you said, USMCA,
mm-hmm. Okay, USMCA, yeah, right.
Which is, you know, the Canadian United States Mexican Trade Agreement replacing NAFTA. If we could get everybody on board with China in the trade agreement with China, which we've talked about a bunch of times, and you're the local family expert on that because you do international trade with China. And if we could just do the economy and infrastructure and all these different things that President Trump wants to do, and get our wall built, for God's sake.
Prescription drugs,
right. Exactly. And taking care of this abysmal medical health care conundrum that we're in.
Yes, that the Democrats handed us.
Absolutely. If we could just do that, can you imagine where this country could go and where our people could go?
You know, and it's such a shame that those people don't want it. And that's why I think it's just so important to understand that when people vote, that they need to think about that. And they need to think about who's going to move us forward and who's going to mire us in this swamp. And this particular Congress has been the worst in the history of my lifetime as far as miring us and the country in constant litigation, constant requests for documents. I mean, Trump's been through so many things, you know, for his taxes, for his income records, for this, for that. He's constantly having to send lawyers to court.
And, you know, and this is not going to change. You know, I firmly believe that President Trump will be reelected. I think this has been a horrible mistake by the Democrats. I think they're gonna wake up after the election and they're gonna go, my God, what did we do to ourselves? Because it's a betrayal of the American people.
Oh, it absolutely
is.
But I don't think that they're ever gonna say that. I don't think that they're ever gonna look in the mirror and be accountable. They're gonna continue to blame President Trump. The thing is, I can't wait till he is a lame duck president.
Oh no! Yeah, watch out! Watch out for that. And then, you know, moving along in 2024, I hope Mike Pence stays in there. I hope the good relationship between Mike Pence and President Trump continues, because I'm a huge fan of Vice President Mike Pence. I just think he is a remarkable man, a man of God, a man of his word. He is a true, loyal trooper. He cares about the American people. And I hope we can just keep moving forward in that direction. But anyway, so I wanted to kind of, you got something?
Yeah, you know, I want to say that, you know, there's an ad that has come out that Joe Biden has put out for his political campaign.
I'm glad you want to talk about Biden, because that's my next thing I want to talk
about.
Okay,
good. Okay, great minds, huh? Okay, so they put an ad out, and the ad is it's doctored. Okay, so they take President Trump and they show him speaking at the UN, and then they show everybody laughing there at what he's saying. Well, he's talking about his accomplishments and how, you know, what he's done for the people and everything, and it shows them laughing as though mocking him. That didn't happen.
Right, it's an edited tape.
It's an edited tape. And I hate that. I just think that is despicable on either side, Republican or Democrat,
to do that.
Correct. It's unethical, and it's a flat out lie to the American people to mislead them, and that's not right.
Well, you know, okay, the way I look at this is, and maybe I'm naive, but how could you not, unless you were just a total Kool-Aid drinker, how could you not believe that President Trump and his administration are not responsible for the rise in employment, the rise in our economy, the rise in personal income, the reduction of taxes, I mean, all of the safety and security of this nation.
The money coming back into the country from overseas.
Which is huge.
The jobs coming back.
How could you not?
Manufacturing coming
back.
Where
do you think that's coming from? You know, but I'm glad you were talking about Joe, because I wanted to talk about Creepy Joe. And anyway, actually, you know, I don't want to call him Creepy Joe, even though he is kind of creepy.
He is creepy.
But I want to call him Sleepy Joe.
Okay.
All right. But, you know, it just seems to me, did you see the other day that he... he's in Iowa, okay, because he's spending a lot of time in Iowa. He's trying to get that campaign energized, and it's just really not happening. I'm sorry, Joe. You got to change the colors on your bus or do something. Take some meth or do something to get yourself energized. But What happened is one of the voters at one of these town halls in Iowa took him on about, you know, his influencing the Ukrainians and getting that guy fired, you know, that prosecutor we're talking about, and then the influence with you know, Hunter Biden and all of this, and former Vice President Biden just lost it, and he called this guy a liar. You know, right. He's you liar, you know, that right. type of thing. But then he calls the guy fat. Okay, now I saw the guy. The guy was a little bit beefy. He was, you know, but I'm saying, you know, Joe, you're throwing shade on this poor man, right?
Well, he offered to do push-ups against
yeah.
him.
Oh, you that's know? The I mean, other thing. That's mean, where you know just, where Joe
is
losing it. That's
yeah.
Do you agree with me?
Well, I
you're
do.
You're losing it when you're saying let's do a push-up contest, you fat farmer, which is basically what he said to him.
And not only that, but in a number of places that he talked in Iowa, he had gaffe after gaffe after gaffe. And one of them was where he was talking about the kids when he was a lifeguard coming up and rubbing the hair on his legs. And I thought that was creepy.
But that's why
and
we
then,
call him Creepy
and
Joe.
Then he was talking about kids who would come and sit on his lap. And he said, I like kids to sit on my lap. And I'm sorry, but the way that it came off was creepy. And listen, I love little kids. I'm, you know, affectionate with them, certainly.
Well, you've had enough of them. We got four.
I know.
For God's sakes.
But thank God they're all gone. but I don't know. It just in the context, for some reason, came off as creepy to me. So, yeah, that's why he gets those nicknames.
But you know what gets me about Joe Biden, and I'm going to be very, very honest, and I'm going to be very direct. When I look at the guy, okay, so we're really kind of just starting the election. I mean, seriously, you know, the campaigning. Hell, they're only in Iowa, for God's sakes, okay? I mean, Trump isn't even involved in it yet. You know, there hasn't been any debates. There hasn't been anything. There's a whole year to go, okay? So exactly 12 months, right? Okay, December to November, right? Well, almost, right? No, 11 months, okay, a year. But it seems to me that he looks old.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, and he looks worn out, and he looks pale, and he doesn't look like he's got the energy. And when you look at President Trump, oh, my God, this guy is bouncing all over the world, for God's sakes. He's everywhere. And every time you see him, he's energized, and he's smiling. And you remember we were watching somebody interview him, and this is a few months ago, and he was doing one of his many camp. I think he was in Dallas. He was doing the AT&T Center. He was someplace, and somebody said, "Doesn't this stuff get to you? You know, this impeachment stuff, the this, the that. They're fighting you on everything. They're insulting you, the media. You know, all of that. Everybody in the media, like, they hate you." And then he goes, and he just laughed, and he goes, "I don't pay much attention to that. You know, I'm out here doing stuff for the American people." Turn around and look at these 25,000 people behind me. You know, and I said, you know, that guy's got a point. I don't think Sleepy Joe could get 2,000 or 3,000 people unless they were bussed into one of his, you know, get-togethers. And Trump, my God, he's got, you know, 25,000, 30,000 people. Then you got another 25,000 people that are outside of the venue trying to get in, and then there's millions of people watching him on television. I tell you what, I think when the media says, oh, you know, this is going to be a close election, I'm not so sure about that.
No, I don't think it's going to be a close
election. I think he's going to win by more this year or next year than he did in 2016.
I absolutely
do. You think so?
Yes. And I don't know who's going to be up against him. We're going to have to wait and see.
Well, we will.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's the truth behind the Black Lives Matter movement and the war on police at Amazon.com.
Well, I thought I'd switch it up for a second, and I thought I'd talk about Starbucks because, Linda, they've changed their dress policy.
Okay. Well, I don't know what their dress policy was and wasn't.
Well, I don't know what it was, but I can tell you what it's changing to, okay? So I got the feeling that maybe the dress of the baristas at Starbucks was perhaps a little conservative, and they're changing now because the philosophy of Starbucks now is that we can't serve you unless all of us is serving you. And I was looking at, what does that mean, all of us? And what they're meaning is that the individual, all of the individuals. So before, the baristas that have been serving us, and I'm not a huge fan of Starbucks, as you know, but I know you are, and the people that have been serving you have been hiding things from you. So now, Starbucks is going to allow one piercing. Okay.
Oh, just one.
So one piercing on the face.
Okay.
And we're not talking about piercing in the ears. We're talking about piercing on the face.
The nose, the lip, the
you
eye,
name it. The eyebrow, okay, yeah, whatever.
Okay.
But they've got a guideline. The piercing can be no bigger than a dime. Okay.
Oh, that's a big piercing.
I would think so. Okay. Next thing, you can wear any color hair you want at Starbucks. You can wear any kind of color hair as long as the hair is not over your face. So the hair cannot cover your face, so it's got to be up in the air or in a bun, or it's got to be, you know, tied with a rubber band or whatever women use to tie their hair back in a ponytail.
Or men.
Now, thank you. Sorry. These days. Absolutely. And tattoos, they can be inked up. However, the tattoos cannot be on the neck, and they cannot be on the face. And the tattoos that are shown, like I would think on an arm or whatever, they cannot have anything that is offensive to other people. They can't be of a sexual nature. They can't be of an insulting nature. They can't be have swear words on them, anything like that. It can't be offensive. So now the baristas can sort of bring all of themselves to you, Linda, when you're getting your latte, double whip, low fat, with an olive.
Or whatever it is.
Whatever the hell you get. Well, for Desi, and when Desi's in the car, getting that puppuccino that she loves.
Yes, she loves that. Yes. So Starbucks is now woke.
Woke?
They're woke.
Okay, now wait a minute. Okay, now
don't
stop.
Don't even ask me. I don't even want to go there.
You don't know what it means, do you?
Well, it means that you're with it. You're up to speed. I don't know, something like that.
Is that kind of I'm being serious. Does woke mean that you've been awoken?
Yeah, awakened.
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 Yeah.
Yeah. That you're with the
you're
current.
With it. You're
the
hip.
Whole, yeah.
You're hip.
Whatever.
Okay.
I guess
now,
I'm
now
not
listen,
woke.
And do you remember? Okay. At a recent dinner, I'm trying to be woke. Right. So I'm trying to be with it because the kids are young. Right. And they look at me and I was talking about how Melissa threw some shadow on me. Right. And everybody at the table laughed and I couldn't figure out what they were laughing at about. And they said, Dad, it's shade.
Yes. Yes, and they've been laughing ever since.
So now I'm like kind of hip now. I'm saying, hey, quit throwing shade on me.
Well, I have to tell you that sometimes you still say shadow. So. Well, hey, I want to say one more kind of serious thing, which I guess it is serious, but it's something that you were pretty much involved in, and that was the Trayvon Martin.
Well, yeah, he was chapter one in my book.
Yeah, and it was a great book, and it's interesting that book still sells every day. But what's interesting, the new news is that George Zimmerman has filed a lawsuit against the family of Trayvon Martin. Why would they do that? Because if you recall in the trial, and I'm sure you do because you followed it, the person that was on the phone with supposedly with Trayvon was his friend Chantel.
Well, it was his girlfriend, Chantel. Well,
yeah.
Right?
And she testified in court to that. And she cried and she said how she was the last person to talk to him and you don't know how I felt and so forth. Well, apparently he wasn't talking to Chantel. It wasn't Chantel who called. It was her half-sister. So what they are saying, what George Zimmerman is saying, is that they knowingly took this person to testify falsely in order to convict him.
Wow. Well, you know, then, and not following this right now, but I would tell you, his civil attorney, Benjamin Crump, okay, and so Benjamin Crump, Linda, I don't know if you know this, but he's a big mover and shaker in the black community, and he does officer-involved shootings. That's where he's really well known for. And he took on Trayvon Martin because initially it was a white guy shooting a black guy.
Right.
And then it turned out that George Zimmerman is actually Hispanic. And that kind of threw things out of kilter for Benjamin Trump. But Benjamin Trump was working... Benjamin Crump. Was working very close with the family, and you know, in my book, the Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, I talked about all the exculpatory evidence that the state prosecutor was hiding from the defense team, and you know, George had a very, very good defense team, and he managed to get acquitted. Just a fascinating, I mean, one of the more fascinating cases I've had.
Well, and so, it sounds like Mr. Crump may have known.
And he's going to be, and if he did know, he's going to be a defendant in George Zimmerman's suit. You watch.
Yes.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you don't want to tell you another little story that it's kind of a good news, bad news, good news story. So pro golfer Brandon Matthews, he was playing in a tournament and he was preparing to advance to the Open. And all he had to do was sink one single putt to get to the Open. His ball was 8 feet away.
Which is not a bad putt.
No, not at all.
Not a bad putt. I mean, people sink that 8 foot putt all the time. How did he do?
Right. Well, what happened was just as he went to hit the ball, somebody screamed out, and he flinched and he missed the putt. He missed being in the Open, the biggest prize of his life.
Of course.
Okay. And he was very upset because he felt that somebody had done that purposely.
I think so. You know, when you're putting, nobody makes any noise.
Right. Well, here's what really happened. There was a man that was there with Down syndrome. He was so excited for this golfer to be going to be able to go to the Open that he couldn't contain himself.
Oh, my God.
And that is what happened. And when the golfer, and I just forgot his name for a second, but I'm sorry, Brandon, when Brandon Matthews found out in his locker room what had actually happened, he asked to meet the gentleman, went out, gave him a big hug. And I just thought, you know, what a big man it took to do that.
Oh, yeah, you know, your dream is shattered in an instant, but then, you know, you have to consider what happened, and that's just huge. I mean, that is really a show of humanity. That's a good story, Linda.
Yeah, I mean, I love to know that, and you know, we haven't really talked about good news things too much lately, and I kind of want to start doing that again, because with all the things that are happening right now, we need that good news. And there are so many wonderful people and so many people that do wonderful things for other people that we need to hear about it. One more little bit of good news in the world is that Sikhs in India mm-hmm. have not been able to go and to their holiest place for many years because of the corridor was closed between Pakistan and India. And
because the constant fighting between those two countries.
Right.
They hate each other.
Right. And Sikhism, there's 25 million people that practice Sikhism. So just recently, in the first time in 72 years, they can now go between Pakistan and India and they can visit their holiest sites because they've opened up this passage and, you know, have a peace treaty
okay,
there.
Okay, that's the question I was going to say. Is that by mutual agreement?
It's just a 3-mile long, it's called the Kartarpur, I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, corridor, and it crosses over the border in between the countries. So I think that that's really, really good news. I think it's really important that people are able to practice their religion freely, whether it's Sikhism or Christianity or whatever it is. So that's good news in the world. And I want to talk about something I've been trying to talk about with you for quite a while, sir, which is, did you know that McDonald's has a secret menu?
No, I don't know that. Okay, so what do you know about McDonald's secret menu?
Well, there are things that you can buy on their menu that are not on the menu, right? So that you can...
So like when you drive up to the drive-in or you go walk in McDonald's,
yep.
They got the menus and the pictures and everything on the walls.
And these things are not on there, but you can order them. So it's their secret menu. And, you know, a lot of the places have it. You know, In-N-Out Burger has it with their animal fries and all those things that are not showing on the menu, but you know that you can order them that way. So
really?
Sure.
What, have I been living in a cave? I don't know this. I love In-N-Out.
I think you have. But here's some of the things on McDonald's secret menu that people can order if they just know to order it.
Okay, I'm dying to know.
Okay. Well, one of them is called the MC1035. Don't even ask me why it's called that. It's only available between 10:30 and 11 a.m., it's a breakfast-lunch combination, and it gives you the Egg McMuffin and the McDouble. It's a double treat, I guess.
What do you mean? Well, you got to tell me what a McDouble is. Do you even know?
Well, I'm learning here as I go. So,
I'll have the McDouble.
Well, yeah, a double burger.
Okay.
Anyway, so then there is the Big McChicken, which is I never heard of, but it's... What it is a beef. You can put...
Wait a minute.
You can put a Big Mac. You can take a Big Mac or a McDouble, so a double cheeseburger, between the chicken patties.
So you put a hamburger... It's a hamburger chicken?
And chicken, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you put it all together.
Okay.
That sounds awful.
Don't let McDonald's hear you talk like that.
Okay, now this one you know because we've ordered it many times, but it's gone off the menu, is the 2-cheeseburger meal.
Yeah, you know, I saw that. You know, that I know for you, that's a great meal. You know, when we get that meal is that usually when I'm driving you back from the airport, and it's usually late at night,
mm-hmm.
okay, and we hit that McDonald's in San Antonio, and you get that double cheeseburger meal because you're not super, super hungry, and we split those two cheeseburgers,
right? We each have
right?
one, and
yeah,
we split the fries, yeah.
But I haven't seen it on the menu.
But you can still order
it. You can still order it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So, okay, the next one is called a McCrepe, and the McCrepe is, it's only available during breakfast hours, but it's made like it's a hot cake and a yogurt parfait, so it's a pancake. And you get the yogurt parfait, and then you dump your yogurt parfait into the hot cake and make your own McCrepe.
Okay.
This is an odd one. Not my wording, but it is available off menu. It's called the McGangbang. And
better watch it.
It's a huge meal. You order a McDouble and a McChicken, both on the dollar menu, and then put the McChicken between the beef patties. And you make... this whole big burger.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
For $2.
Oh, for $2?
Yeah, because it's $2.
That sounds like stuff that college kids would order.
$2 Mac. Okay, so then the McKinley Mac. This is, if you're still hungry after eating a Big Mac, this is a Big Mac which has two of the patties, and then you also get, instead of the 1.6-ounce patties, it has 2 quarter-pound patties.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
That's going to sit in your stomach.
Yeah, for a while. So that's called a McKinley Mac. Or if you're even hungrier, you can get the Monster Mac. And this is really popular, I guess, with, you know,
football
guys,
players.
Yeah, who can eat 8 patties
at once. That sounds sick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's a burger giant with 8 patties.
Okay, that's disgusting.
Okay. And then at times, and you've probably seen this, they have the leprechaun shake. It's only available in March, though. And
I've seen the mint chip one. Yep, mint chip.
But you can also get, you can also order a Neapolitan shake, okay, which it's not on the menu, but they mix the strawberry, right, the chocolate, and the vanilla.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of little things at McDonald's. And you know what? You can actually, if you get really hungry and you want to know, you can go online and you can look up McDonald's secret menu and you can get all the 411 about what you can order that's not on the menu.
Okay, so real quick, of all the fast food restaurants, who makes the best French fries?
Oh, golly gosh. You know what? I like Del Taco.
I knew you were going to say that. Okay, so I'm going to give you my vote. Okay, so I like Del Taco the best, number one, and I like McDonald's French fries for second, and I'm going to tell you why. I don't know how they do it, but their fries stay warmer longer.
Oh, okay? But they're dry. I don't like their French fries, but I like Wiener Schnitzel's French fries.
Oh, I forget how they taste, but I will say this. As much as I like In-N-Out burgers, and by the way, you can watch them make French fries, and you can watch them make the French fries right from the real potatoes, so they're not, mm-hmm, you know, processed. You can watch them make it. I like eating the French fries, but they get the coldest the fastest.
Yep, you're right.
Okay? Are we about ready?
I am ready. We gotta grab our doggie.